Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Dear saints, dear Zion, dear Bonnie, dear Joel, Emmy, and Henry and Jackson, dear friends and family of Laura, and most especially, dear Brian and Fiona and Rick, grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who for our sake gave himself into death and gave eternal life to all of those who believe in him. Amen. 6 days ago, last Sunday afternoon, a few minutes to 4 p.m., while some of you were getting ready for dinner and making plans for the evening, or resting, or driving, or running errands, or even working, the Lord God at that time did what he had known he would do. And he fulfilled what he had planned for Laura from before the foundation of the world. In fact, while God was still knitting Laura together in her mother's womb, the Lord had already written all of her days before she lived one of them. Before Laura ever lived the first day of her life, the Lord had planned that very first day and even her last day and every day in between there. The Lord planned every year, and he planned the very year, the very month, the very day, the very hour, the very minute, down to the minute when he would take her from this veil of tears to be with him forever in heaven. It's not early, it's not late, it is exactly when the Lord had determined, when the Lord in his gracious will had planned. And at that exact time, God did what he would had always planned to do, that is, he sent his holy angels to Laura to draw her soul out of her body, to take her and carry her home to God himself, to the Lord, the author and giver of life, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And that is where she is. She is with Jesus. That is a fact, that is certain, and you can have confidence in that. When the Lord determined that her days were full, when Laura closed her eyes in death, that is when she opened them to see the face of her dear Father in heaven forever. And at that very moment, she saw something, and she saw everything that Jesus had won for her through his holy and precious death on the cross. Now, Laura started visiting Zion about 3 years ago in 2021. Shortly after she and Rick moved here, she started coming to church by invitation of Joe and Emmy, who have been members here since 2016. So they were here long before she was. And Laura went from visiting one Sunday to then visiting two and three, and she just kept coming back multiple Sundays. And after attending for several months, she then approached me and asked me, she said, "How can I become a member of this church and receive communion?" I told her I'd be happy to take her through an instruction class. And at the time, I had set up 12 weeks of instruction, about an hour and a half or a little bit more each time. And we were meeting online. And when I started this class, a few months later, when I started the class, Laura was in it. But then also, Rick was there, and he was in it. And I didn't expect that. and even though it had been quite some time, from what I understand, quite some time from the time that they had been in a church faithfully, attending each Sunday together, they both attended every one of those lessons throughout those weeks, and they both asked some thought-provoking and deep questions throughout the whole time. And then at the end of the class, I said, "Look, if anyone here," there were multiple people in it, and I said, "If anyone here agrees with what was taught, look, there's no pressure for you to join. This, I'm just being honest and telling you what we believe. But if this is your confession of faith, if this is what you believe, then you should join the church. This is what the church is for. This is what we're going to continue preaching and teaching here. And some of them didn't join. Some of them said, no, thank you for teaching me, but we're going to go our different ways. But Laura and Rick stayed. And they said, we believe this. This, in fact, this is our confession. And so, on September 25th, 2022, in the very last service in our previous building, the very last time that we were there, both Rick and Laura stood before God. They stood before the whole congregation. They confessed their faith, and they said very pointedly that they are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, and not by any of their works that they accomplished, solely through the death and resurrection of Christ. That is where their salvation comes from. Their assurance comes from. They said that. And they both received that day together the very body and blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins in the Lord's Supper. And Rick had told me after the service there that that was the first time he had received the Lord's Supper in decades. And that was a beautiful day. Now, they were both very, very involved in the church right away, even before they joined. But after they joined, they were super involved. In any Bible study that I offered, they were there. It was on a Sunday, they were there. It was on the weekday, they were there. If it was online, if it was recorded, they listened to it. They were there. And at Zion, once a month, I do this thing called Theology on Tap, where we go to a brewery. We drink beer, and we talk theology. And guess who showed up? Rick. And then Laura came later. But Rick was there first. And then Emmy started a book club, and guess who was there? Not Rick. Laura was there. When it was Christmas, Laura threw a Christmas party. She had people over from the church. She did all of these wonderful things. I'm still hearing stories of the food and the things that she did there. She would see members outside of the church. She would hang out with them. She would go see movies, all these sort of things, dinners. She went from sitting quietly in church as a visitor to becoming deeply involved in a matter of weeks and months. And just as an aside, no one, I have never heard this, no one ever complained about Laura or said anything bad about her. And neither did she say anything bad about anyone that I heard. Now, over the years, I learned quite a few things about her from what I've heard. She's incredibly talented. She randomly picked up arts and crafts, is what Brian and Fiona were telling me. And she excelled at them. She was excellent at it. She was excellent at gardening. She loved hiking. She loved celebrating holidays with her family. She would go all out for each one of these things. The one thing that I've heard that everybody tells me without fail, that I don't know from personal experience, but only from what others have told me, is that she was a phenomenal cook. See, all of you are nodding. Yep. If you've eaten her food, you know this. I never had the opportunity to do that, but I have heard all of these stories. I witnessed testimonies saying this was the best meal I've ever had. She didn't, and the thing is, she didn't follow recipes. She made them on the spot. It's unbelievable, something I've just never seen. She had this natural God-given ability to do this, to create the best food, and it was always just coming together with whatever scraps there were and made the best out of it. Now, even more than this, in talking with Rick and Brian and Fiona this week, they all told me that Laura was the foundation of the family, the bedrock of the family, that she was always dependable. She was always calm and cool and collected, no matter what was happening, that the house could be on fire and she was calm and cool and collected. She was utterly reliable, and she was just a selfless and generous person. She took care not only of her own family, but from what she told me, even animals that were wounded when she was little, and even strangers. She worked as a nurse for her life for many, many years, and I remember her telling me distinctly that she felt that nursing was her calling in life, that God had made her in this way to take care of other people. And she loved it, and she loved taking care of others. Now, with all this being said, I will not pretend, I will not stand here and pretend to know Laura better than I do or better than any of you do. I'm sure a lot of you know her better than I do and for longer than I have. And if you like stories, talk to Rick. He's a master storyteller. I think it's because he's Irish. That has to, something to do with it. He is phenomenal. So go bother him. Ask him about these stories. They're great. So while you, all of you, I know more than I do about her, the little that I know about her is in fact the most important thing to know about her. You may know more, but the little bit that I know is what you need to know more than anything. And this is the point of the sermon, that I want to tell you what I saw in the final months of her life, the final years, the final months, the final weeks, the final days, things that no one else saw, which are the most important thing. As many of you already know, Laura suffered very much from cancer in 2019. She had four sessions or rounds of chemotherapy, countless rounds of radiation. And this is exhausting. It is exhausting physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually going through that. She even then went into remission, and then about 4 to 5 years later, the cancer came back. And I got a call about it in the fall. And when talking to the doctors, they said she wouldn't make it to Christmas, but she made it to Easter. I visited her in the hospital and had a few minutes with her before anyone else was there, before any of you guys showed up. And I looked at her and I asked her, "How are you doing?" And she said, I know this is it, Pastor. I know I can't go through this again. And we talked more. And then she immediately started to tell me how much she loved her family. How much she loved all of you. By name, she was saying your names. I hadn't even met Brian yet. And she's talking about Brian and Brian. And I asked her, after talking, I said, "Laura, are you afraid?" And she said, "I'm not afraid. I'm at peace. I'm not afraid to die because I know I will be with Jesus. He died for me, and I know he will save me." That is what she said. And this is just beautiful. She was certain and confident. She didn't say, "Look, I know I'll be with Jesus someday because I'm a good person, or I'm kind, or I'm really generous, or I like people, or I've lived a good life." She said, what came out of her mouth was, "I know I will be with Jesus." Why? Because he died for me. That's what she said. That was her confession. And then we kept on talking, and I asked, "Look, Laura, is there anything that is worrying you? Like, what's the biggest worry you have right now in this position? What's the biggest thing worrying you about dying?" And she said, with tears in her eyes, she said, "I just want my family to be okay." She said, "I'm always taking care of them, and I'm sad I won't be here to take care of them anymore. Who's going to take care of them, you know?" That's what she said. And I said to her, "God will. For all these years, God has taken care of them through you, Laura, and they will love you and they will remember you for that. But God will continue to take care of them for you. And he has loved and taken care of them with you, and he will continue to love and take care of them even without you. This is who God is." And then at this moment, she had a tremendous sigh of relief. You could just see the burden and the weight lifted from her shoulders. She had this huge smile on her face, and through the tears, she just said this. She goes, "Thank you. That's all I needed to know." If she knew that God would take care of you, that's she was content with that. She saw it as a privilege and an honor to do it, but she was certain that the Lord would. She loved you guys, and she wanted you to have the same comfort that she had. By the way, I just want to take a minute here and say, look, I don't want you to think that I'm making this up or I'm embellishing the stories or the conversations and making them seem a lot more sentimental or better than they were. This is actually how the conversations went, word for word. And I know this because right after I would visit her, while I'm in the hallway walking back to my car, I would pull out my phone and write down the significant things that we said, word for word. I've notes on, for example, that conversation happened on October 16th, 2023, and just before 12:21 p.m. We had just had that conversation, and I wrote it down on the way to the car, exactly as it went. So, in other words, I want you to have confidence that this is actually what she was saying. These were the words she was saying. Now, over the following weeks and months, the cancer got worse, her pain got worse. She was on oxygen, she was kept at home, and then she was in hospice. We didn't see her in church much anymore. But we prayed for her in church every single Sunday, and while I visited her in her home, Rick and Laura and I would sit there in the living room or outside, and we would talk for hours. The majority of the time, we were just laughing. I was laughing. They were making me laugh. Mostly, we were laughing at Rick. we would be talking and sharing stories, talking about all these things, praying together and crying together. And this is what's amazing to me. This blew my mind. Here's Laura, suffering in so much pain and anguish. She's barely able to breathe or talk. And when I would show up, she genuinely would ask me, she would say, how are you doing? She asked me how I'm doing. And then she would say, how's Erica, my wife? How are the kids? How are your boys? How is the church? She would ask those things. That is simply the kind of person she was. While she is in just immense pain, she's thinking of other people. Now, Rick, who knew Laura better than anybody else ever could, he told me this week. He said that in all of this, all of the pain that she has gone through, never once did she complain about her pain. He also told me that she was quietly devoted to the faith. He would just walk around the house and see her there with a devotion, with the Bible open, reading it, devoting herself to the Lord, quoting. In fact, when they would talk about things, it could be anything, whether it was politics or what happened in the day, Laura would just quote the Bible. She would bring up a verse of the Bible and quote it to him. And Rick said that she was a brilliant example of a Christian. It's exactly what he said. And Rick, by the way, Laura loved that you came to church with her. She told me that. That was an answer to her prayers. I can't tell you how beautiful it was to see the both of you in your home in the final months and weeks, sitting together, hearing God's word, and receiving the very body and blood of Christ together. And I saw the two of you grow in leaps and bounds in these last few months together, spiritually, in your faith. It was deepened in a way that I haven't seen. Laura went from not wanting a funeral at all. In fact, we weren't supposed to be here today. She didn't want this. And she just wanted to be cremated and said, well, let's just kind of move on. To changing her plans entirely, asking to be buried, and even planning the funeral herself. She picked all those readings, she picked them. The hymns, she picked them. She sat down, she opened the Bible, she opened the hymn, said, this is the one I want. Put all of that references there. She wanted you all to hear them and consider them. Now, I'm getting ready to close here, but this is the part of the sermon that I've been working up to the entire time, and this is the most important thing, the thing that I want you to take with you today. So if you have not been listening, listen now. About 7 to 8 weeks ago, Zion bought a bunch of devotion books for the season of Lent titled The Spiritual Contemplation of the Suffering of Christ. And it was published by a group called Steadfast Lutherans, and we get these every year. Well, When I visited her, I brought her a copy, her and Rick a copy. I gave it to them at the beginning of Lent. I wasn't expecting anybody to read it, even in the church, but they did. Everybody read it. And she actively read it, and she was questioning me about things that she read in there, and she would talk to me. When I would visit her, she would say, I read this. Where's that in the scriptures? And she said, I never knew this before. And she would just go on and on with all of the things that she was learning. Now, I want to fast forward to from that point to just last week. When I had heard that Laura had died, I immediately went. I think I was on the other side of town. I went, got in the car, drove over to her home, saw Rick there, stayed there for several hours until Fiona got home. While I was there, I found that devotional book right next to where she was sitting again. And the cover was folded backwards so much that you can't even close it now. It is well used. All of the pages, if you flip through it, all of the pages have creases in them where she folded the page and then she picked up and read there the next day, unfolded it, kept doing that over and over and over again. You can see it through the entire book. It's tattered and well-worn. And every page was folded and unfolded except for one, which was still folded. And it had the deepest fold on it. And it was still folded throughout the book. It was page 49. And when I read it, it struck me because she had brought that exact devotion up to me, what it said to me just a little bit before then. And it was a devotion that focused on the final words of Jesus, the very last words that Jesus ever said. That's what she was going back to over and over again. The words of Jesus which say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said that, he breathes his last. She kept turning back to that devotion again. Now, this is a couple paragraphs here. Bear with me. I'm just going to read to you what she marked. This is what it says. Jesus has, by his perfect actions, taught us how to live. Now, Jesus teaches us how to die. According to every observation, Jesus' death was not blessed, but terrible. He was hated, reviled, and wrongly convicted. He was shamed, robbed, and in intense pain. But that was nothing compared to what we see Godward. Jesus was accursed by God for hanging on a tree. He was forsaken by his Father. He tasted death to its fullest. And yet, despite all of this, Christ kept faith. He ran the race and prevailed in the fight. He, though rejected and scorned, commended his spirit into the hands of his dear Father. He never lost trust in his Father. He knew, despite all observations to the contrary, that he was loved by God and had done all things well. He fully trusted that God would not leave his soul in hell, nor let his Christ see corruption. Now, pay attention here. This is the point. This is right in the center of it, and it says this. One day, we too shall face death. We may suffer terribly in body. We may be afflicted in our souls with doubts and the devil's accusations. According to every observation, the world may think that we died a terrible death. But that's not true. So let us commend our spirits into the hand of our Savior God, who redeems us from every sin and takes us to heaven, to himself in heaven. Let us not stumble at the finish line, but boldly and joyously finish the race, trusting that Jesus has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us in his Father's mansions. Everything may look like God is against us, but he's not. God is for you because of Jesus. And this is so beautiful. Do you know why that page was still folded? Because she kept turning back to it again and again and again. She kept drawing comfort from this again and again. She knew her days were numbered, and she kept drawing comfort from this over and over. She even told me how she had this rush of regrets and guilt and shame that came to her mind in these final days. And what she did is she took profound comfort in this. She learned from Jesus not only how to live, but also how to die, how to commit her spirit to the Lord. To the world, it looks like she died a terrible death, but she died well. She died beautifully because she died with faith in Jesus. She didn't stumble at the finish line. She finished the race. Her purpose and her meaning in this life are completely and utterly fulfilled in Him. And she has salvation that Jesus won for her. And do you know what is so beautiful about this? Is that we know what Laura was doing the final 6 weeks of her life. For the last 6 weeks of her life, she was thinking about the one who thought of her. She was thinking about the one who laid down His life for her, who opened up His veins and poured out His precious blood for her. While she was suffering and dying, she was thinking of the one who suffered and died for her on her behalf, who thought of her even while He was suffering and dying. Toward the end of her life, Laura took her eyes away from earthly things and set her eyes on things above. She knew her sin, but she knew her Savior even better. And in her final days, Laura set her eyes on Jesus like never before, the author and perfecter of her faith, the one who endured pain and sorrow of the cross to forgive her all of her sins, and He rose from the dead to save her from it. Bonnie and Joe and Emmy and Henry and Jackson and Brian and Fiona and Rick, I know you loved Laura and she loved you. I know that no one on this earth could love Laura more than you did. And I know how much you loved her. But Jesus loved her even more. And He loved her even better than you ever could, because He laid down His life for her and poured out His life and blessed her. Her race, Laura's race, is finished. Her work is done. And everything is complete. She lived with Jesus. She died with Jesus. And now she's forever with Jesus, never to suffer or cry or mourn again. This is the story of God planning Laura's salvation and bringing her back to Him at the exact time. And everything that Jesus did for her, Jesus has done for all of you. All of those who trust in Him will not be put to shame. Don't give up now. Don't give up the Word of God now. You only have a few more days. Listen, does it seem like life is long? I mean, look at your age right now. Just look back. Does it seem like you've lived 50, 60 years? Does that seem like a long time for you? It's a blink of an eye. It seems like nothing. Everybody says this to parents and their children. You know, pay attention to them. Spend time with them. It goes by so quickly. Well, look, it is coming soon. You only have a few more days. Don't give up the Word now. Continue in it sooner. And sooner than you think, the day will come when your days will be full, the light of your eyes will grow dim, and you will take your final breath. And when that day comes, your dear Lord in heaven will send His holy angels and take you from this veil of tears to be with Him forever. Dear saints, may God open your hearts to hear His word as she did. May God open your heart to meditate upon the Lord's passion as she did, to rejoice in the forgiveness of sins which you have, to love His salvation which He gives you so freely. Alleluia, Christ is risen.